You know, back when I was young, man, I had seen some cheese on a board. I was like, damn, that cheese looked hella good. I gotta give me some of that shit, man. So I gets the nibbling on the cheese, and all of a sudden, smack, guess what it was? Rat Trap.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of At Your Insta. My name is Morgan, and I'm joined by Jordan.
Hey, what's up?
And Mike.
Number 20,
welcome. So, we have a lot in store for you guys today. We have plenty of tournaments to talk about, and we have first-hand experience, of course, from the TCG 50K. We're going to talk about that last, but first we wanted to talk about GP Santiago and SCG LA. So, before we get started, do you guys want to throw anything else in?
I want to shout out local player Greg Price.
Yeah.
Who, top four of the Legacy Champs at Eternal Weekend, playing Mud, just dream crushing all the players with his Chalice of the Voids and whatnot. He's a real cool local guy, and he's been foiling out that deck for the better part of,
like
2 years or something.
Yeah,
like that.
He let me touch it at game day, and I was like...
Don't take this out of context.
Yeah, don't quote that specific sound bite. But yeah, Greg let me like shuffle it, and I was like, am I allowed to shuffle this? And he was like, well, yeah, what do you think I'd do? I was like... Greg, I don't think he shuffled. Yeah, he's a super cool guy. Then he stomped me too game day.
So there's that. So congrats to him on his top four. You know, getting beaten by Osip Lubitz and then like Arlax wins that event. Like, you got to feel pretty good being in those names.
Oh yeah, most certainly. I mean, and obviously since we don't talk about Legacy or you know most any other Eternal formats, you know, this is kind of the only time we'll be able to shout out someone for doing something well in Legacy, since we won't really talk about it. No offense to Legacy or Vintage players, we just don't have that bankroll. So let's go ahead, and first we'll actually want to talk about GP Santiago, just because it's sort of not necessarily the lesser of the tournament, it's just not as interesting from the deck list, except for the actual winning deck list. Piloted by Luis Scott, that's in quotes, Navas.
Get it.
He's trying to be cute. It's adorable. And he was piloting a red-black aggro list featuring none other than Exava, Rakdos Blood Witch, as a four of, as well as various other red and or black creatures, including Zathru Necromancer, which I think is actually pretty cool because most of the creatures in here are human. So you kind of have a little bit of an advantage if you do get a board sweep. Kind of is a kick in the nuts if they anger the gods you, but, you know, what are you going to do? But this is kind of the most interesting list to really come out from this tournament. There have been, like, mono black lists, and of course, you know, mono red aggro lists that have been on Modo. But it's kind of the first prominent showing of it being in a big, you know, tournament. Mike, you said that pretty much everything else was just, you know,
there's a lot of mono blue. Mm-hmm. There's a mono red devotion list, very similar to, I guess it's not mono red, it's splashing white for Chain of the Rocks.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's only Chain of the Rocks. And Boros Charms out of the board. Right. Oh, that assembles out of the board. Man, this thing is big. Deck is sort of similar to what they were doing in the Pro Tour, or the LSV list, where they're just trying to power out things with their Nykthos.
And this list has become fairly popular online as well.
Yeah, that's true. But it's a little interesting to see that in there as opposed to your normal, red green list. There is a red green list.
Yeah, green red. It's a green red monsters.
Yeah, playing Flesh and Blood, which is sweet.
Yeah,
and Witchstalker, which is interesting.
Yeah, that's kind of a foil to Esper. And I think that's a lot of people's solution, you know, to Esper, which is the 3/3 can't be a hexproof creature that they play
a black and blue
spell, but it has to be on
your turn. Yes,
yeah. So it's the
voice.
Yeah, the voice of resurgence clause, if you will. I think you're right in Flesh and Blood being kind of a sweet little thing here. Because now you can't actually play the flesh side of this. They're just pretty much playing blood.
For sure. And I'd like to see, like, I mean, you do have Keratids.
You do have Keratids. So that's what I was looking for after I said it.
You got that, every now and then where you could just, like, power out something out of a Xenagos with a Keratid and just be like, oh, by the way.
Right, pretty much. But yeah, this is definitely an interesting card. I know that Brad Nelson played this card in the Pro Tour and kind of, you know, pushed it with his Red Green Monsters list, and it was kind of sad not to see it continue, you know, forward. But it's good to see it going out. You're looking at something here.
Oh, sorry, I was just noticing that one of the top eight lists, the one in the mono blue list, has 61 cards.
I mean, that's fine. I mean, 61 cards, the difference between 60 and 61 cards is very, very small. So,
really? It's one card. I figured that out, Morgan.
Right, I can say that. But I don't know. Like,
Mike, I think you might be thinking it's two cards.
So I don't know why that's necessarily. Are you looking for like what the extra card is?
No, I just thought it was interesting that, you know, you don't normally see that. You normally, you know, you don't see that extra card. In draft, sometimes you see it, but generally not here.
I guess they just couldn't find anything else there they wanted to cut. I don't blame them.
I mean, I still think, like, there was the old argument that that's just mathematically incorrect. I think that's probably still true in mono blue lists, but I don't know.
Like, what, that 61 cards is mathematically incorrect?
Well, yeah. It's mathematically incorrect regardless of the deck choice. Like, you'd have to be playing really powerful spells.
I mean, that's a whole other, like, you know, can of worms, so to speak. I mean, then you get into the territory war, then you should only be playing, you know, every deck in Modern should be playing four Detecting Probe by that logic, right? Because then mathematically you are cutting down to 56 of your best cards as opposed to 60.
Fair enough. I think though with Gataxian Probe, there's downside to Gataxian Probe.
Sure. I'm just saying it was an argument that was had.
No, yeah. During
Simon Standard.
Yeah, definitely. I mean,
you probably make the cut and just try to draw the better cards. But I mean, you know, I've been guilty of doing it in draft generally, where you're just like, you know what, I don't want to cut these things.
No, yeah, I think draft's a little different, where your game plan hinges so much on singletons.
Right.
Whereas, you know, like, in a constructed format, I feel like he could have figured out, like, oh, maybe three Bidens is too much, or maybe, oh, I really just need three Thosses.
You and Morgan are just full of all the great advice. Did you know that 61 and 60 is a very small difference? And did you know that draft hinges a lot on singletons?
No, I think what I said was a little more helpful than Morgan's. Like, I was contributing, like, no, the analogies aren't exactly fair.
In all honesty,
they both suck.
But most people have your opinion, though, in that 61 cards makes such a huge difference and that you shouldn't play 61 cards. But in actuality, it is a small mathematical difference between 60 and 61.
Well, I mean, yeah, but I mean,
that statement is so unnecessary.
But you would think that it is. But it's not, because people make a huge deal, like you did, about playing 61 cards.
It was intriguing to me. I mean, the logic dictates that, you know, you should play the minimum amount of cards possible, because you want your deck, if it's doing something powerful, to do the exact same powerful thing every single game.
Correct.
The easiest way to do that is to reduce the amount of extraneous things, you know, within it. So it does, you know, that is why people stick to that so much. I'm still making fun of you more for the fact that you had to let me know that, you know, one is more than zero, which, you know, spoiler alert, I'm sorry at home if you haven't seen the movie, one is greater than zero. But and is not that big of a difference, but it's still a difference.
Correct.
But anyways,
and I think in a game, in a game of Max Mini and like Magic Gathering, is like you want to be played in the 60. Now, I mean, Vilmar, I hope I'm not butchering his name, but Vilmar, I'm sure, I mean, like, he top 8 at GP, I'm sure he knew what he was doing, I'm sure everything was as it should be. I'm just curious to his reasoning behind it. I'm not trying to say he was, like, dumb or whatever.
Maybe he was doing it just to troll people, like, he was just pile shuffling and just, like, consistently kept getting an extra one, and, like, judge? Oh, wait, no, I have 61 cards on my list. Gotcha!
maybe. Anyway. We'll move off on this topic, because I'm sure it's very intriguing for everyone involved. But yeah, so that's kind of GP Santiago in a nutshell. I mean,
there's an Esperlissa top 8ed.
Ooh,
it's still playing Elspeths.
Ooh,
I'm not saying it. I'm just letting you know.
No, yeah, no,
I'm shitting on you.
Okay, honestly, the Elspeth discussion, it's bad in a mono black meta. In the meta that developed after Mono Black won a tournament,
Fair. It
got better. Like, when I played Morgan, I played Elspeth, and then he Heroes Downfall it. And I was like, well, hey, guess who was right on the podcast, buddy, as I put my Elspeth in the air.
Well, yeah, but I mean, again, did you play your Elspeth on turn 6 against an opponent that has Heroes Downfall?
I think I played only turn 8 or something like that.
Okay, but did you leave Counterspell Protection?
Yeah, Negate.
Then what was the issue?
I didn't have Negate.
Okay. Well, that was a problem.
Elspeth actually is not that terrible against Mono Black, you know, as long as you have protection. Elspeth's really terrible against Mono Blue, which is hilarious, seeing as there's like six Mono or five Mono Blue lists in this top 8.
Right.
But hey, you know.
I mean, Elspeth, but I mean, like, there's, I mean, Elspeth is just another win condition. You hope that it'll last, but I think the problem, like, a lot of the problem with Esper is that maybe their win conditions aren't as resilient as they think. Like, a lot of people hinge on Blood Baron. Being
this one is playing four Blood Barons of the board.
Like, I understand that Blood Baron is good, but still Mono Black has game against Blood Baron. They have Devour Fleshes, they have Lifebane Zombies, you know, they have Thoughtseize, they have ways to get rid of it. And they also have Erebos, which kind of also negates it because they can't gain life from it.
I hate these kind of discussions where people are like, well, yeah, you have these cards, but here's the cards that directly counter it. Like, yeah, like, decks have things that counter things. Well, like, one deck doesn't just straight up win.
But in Esper, in control decks, your win conditions need to be able to be resilient. And when you say, like, oh, I have, you know, this card that's going to win me these matches, and they aren't resilient against the cards that deck that you're hedging for has, then is that the win condition you want against that deck?
Well, I think in we just kind of led to a bit that if I'm playing spells on curve, like, I'm probably not doing it right. Like, for example, against you when I drop a spell without a way to protect my win condition.
Sure.
And then, by the way,
it's like casting Eighth Link on turn 6.
Right, precisely. And I also would like to know that you are the king of helpful information tonight, where you want your win conditions to stick around. So
rock, smash his scissors.
wait.
Scissors cuts paper.
Wait, what beats paper? What beats paper?
I understand.
Oh, I messed up the joke. God damn it.
I can just leave if you guys want me to and take... Wait, you know, the recording equipment
with
you if you'd like.
Morgan,
you don't play with my toys anymore. I'm going home.
I do have one question for the voice of your instant. What beats rock?
Fuck you.
Blood Baron Viscopa beats rock. Get it? Because it's the black green.
Yeah.
Moving on.
The look on Mike's face, everybody, by the way, was priceless.
He really enjoyed that comment.
I was beaming.
I know. It's true.
So, Star City?
Yeah, so move on to Star City. Now, Star City, they had some interesting things kind of show up in the top 8, I think. So we do see Naya Control kind of come back in 8th place. So that's kind of interesting, you know, that weekend deck is actually, you know, maybe lasting 2 weekends instead. we also do have some, you know, some Mono Blue Devotion, Mono Red Aggro, Green White and Esper also show up again. The Red White Devotion list that I think is going to be similar to the list that we see in NGP or in Santiago. Very, very similar. Some kind of new lists that people talked about in the beginning of their standard kind of showing up. So we have Dega Midrange, or Black Red White Midrange, shows up at 5th place. Now, this is kind of a list that I've always looked at and admired and really wanted it to work, but have never seen any really good results except for, you know, motor results. And, you know, that metagame doesn't necessarily translate into real life all the time. But we do see it show up here. It's got some, you know, interesting things. I've heard many people liken this to the old standard Jund lists. And the way that it operates in its mid-ranginess, if you will.
It's mid-ranginess.
Mid-ranginess.
The numbers in this deck just seem so strange.
Right, that has always gotten me too with these kind of lists, because the numbers always look weird. Like, you have 2 Desecration Demons, and you're cutting... It looks like this list is cutting 2 Desecration Demons for Pack Rat. Like, yeah. And that's what they're doing, and that just seems really,
like
really
2
weird.
2 Demons, 2 Pack Rats, 2 Obza, 2 Elspeth, 2 Dreadboard, 2 Thoughtseize,
right.
2 Ultimate Prince, 2 Whip of Erebos, 2 Assembly of the Legion. I'm going to tell you now, the deck I've been running, this is literally the only deck that I can't beat consistently. I just can't do it. But it just does seem like a lot of this deck, like Jun kind of was anyways, it's just like... Let's jam all these good cards in there. I don't know what numbers we should have, so let's go with half.
Right, exactly. And I think it would probably fall into the same thing that Jen always fell into, is like, you got to draw the right half of your deck,
right.
Depending on your matchup. Like, you could be up against control and just be like, oh, I guess I'm just going to draw my Pack Rats and Boris Reckoners that you guys can just wrath away. And then, like, you're going to go up against aggro and be like, oh, look at all these expensive spells. Thanks, Elspeth.
I mean, I do like you get all 8 Scrylands,
yes.
You know, that you can here. I mean, that gets to play a lot of really powerful spells. You know, it does have, like, cute interactions, like Whip and Obsidot. Like I said, this deck has a lot of power. It also, I mean, you do lose out on the ability to draw a million cards, like the Mono Black deck has. So you just, like, You just run out of gas.
Yeah, and like that's kind of the unfortunate thing with it. But I mean, it's interesting that it shows up here, and like sure. I'm glad.
No dragons in it, which is really surprising.
That is really surprising as well, because a lot of these lists online have dragons. They usually run like Boris Reckoner's dragons, and then Desecration Demons, just to have like that's their creature package, and then everything else is all spells.
Oops,
of some persuasion. So.
All spells. Oh, I'm sorry.
Yep.
So
and then the other thing that kind of shows up in the actually winning list is we finally have White Bread Weenie winning an open, and this is a list that first showed up pretty early on in the first open.
Yeah.
It was ninth place.
You were on before.
Right, exactly. It was Ross Merriam's list, and I talked to Ross about this list, and I tried it, and I didn't have very much success with it.
I didn't like it.
it's mainly, I felt that it wasn't the list, per se, but maybe it wasn't that I couldn't play aggro. Now, this list, piloted by Ben Lundquist, is a little bit different than the list that Ross Merriam first showed up with. First thing to note is that it is actually Planeswalker heavy. There's three of Johnny's in here. Most of the time in the list, you would see like two of Johnny's in the sideboard and not three of Johnny's main deck, which is a pretty heavy commitment. But I think that's there just because it's. You want it for things like the control decks like Esper, and you want it for like mono black, just because it kind of gives you reach and a way around things typically, and also has incremental advantage as well. And then the interesting things that we have is main deck frontline medic, which is not something that we saw in the original list. Two Azorius Arrester, which is the 2/1 for one and a white.
I like that card a lot.
That comes in and detains a guy, which is pretty sweet. And a lot of people, because following this list online, a lot of people have talked about this card being a possible card over Opposing Sovereign, which is typically in the list. We don't find any Opposing Sovereigns here. We also see that Banisher Priests are actually not in the main anymore, which they typically were. There were four of them in the main, and they've actually shifted over to the side. And only one Sphere of Heliod. Well, obviously, Sphere of Heliod is kind of bad when you draw multiples of it, and there is... there probably had to be a concession just because they wanted more Johnnies in the three-drop slot. It's very interesting, and I actually have this deck built online. I still have all the other cards for the older way that it was built, so I kind of have both versions available to me. The older version, I actually took another shot at it again and piloted it through like an 8-4 and with 3-0, so that felt pretty good. And I do think this deck has a lot of power against the current meta, and I don't know how long that this strategy will be viable, because I tried playing this deck last night and then just a two-man, and I came against a black-white mid-range deck, which seems like a nightmare. Just a nightmare. Like, because mono-black, sometimes you can just, get by them with the creatures they have, but that black-white mid-range list, I mean, it's kind of, mid-range typically foils aggro strategies anyway. So it was definitely a rough matchup. I just didn't play as well as I should have. I'm not as familiar with Moto as I should be, and may have sacrificed the wrong Johnny. It happens, and I'm not too proud of it, but I'll admit it. Because I haven't played Moto since they changed the rules, so I wasn't paying attention to what it told me to click on, so I thought it was asking me which one I wanted to keep, and not which one I wanted to sacrifice for some reason. I don't know. I don't understand Moto sometimes. I'm going to get better at it. So that's kind of where we're at. I know that Cedric Felix actually built to this list and piloted on a stream tonight, and it was a lot of fun. He was pissing a lot of people off, which I found hilarious, because people were just like, "Oh, great hand, lucky draws." It's like, "I'm playing a white weenie deck. Like that's what it's designed to kill you fast, and that's what it is."
Quick aside: saw a picture on Facebook today of Lauren Nolan.
Uh huh.
Okay, a guy who's gotten mad at him on Omoto and essentially said like, "Yo, way to win your first match, kid." And he's like, "Well, this is round two, so I've won one more match."
That's awesome.
How condescending you have to say that. Oh, good match winning, kid. Yes.
You hear this, Lauren Nolan?
Thanks, Mean Joe. Yes.
Oh, look at that.
It was pretty funny. Yeah. So, sorry, I know it's totally random, but I saw that and I had a good laugh about it.
Yeah, I know, I imagine. So, hopefully this list can have some legs. I'm still struggling to find something I want to play in Standard, so who knows if this is it or not. I kind of want to play aggro. I kind of just want to be like, whatever, I don't care. And hopefully I'll get better at it, and maybe it won't be so bad when I play it online. And did you guys want to talk anything about the GP or the Star City Games in LA before we kind of move into the 50K? Because the 50K is going to be the bulk of our podcast. We were all there. We all had stories and experiences. Some good, some bad, but it is what it is.
Mostly bad.
Well, no, two-thirds bad.
Two-thirds.
No, I'm good.
Round five was great.
All right, so we'll go ahead and we'll move over here. First, we'll kind of just talk about the top eight of the tournament and not necessarily get into our own personal stories. And so we see that the winner and overall champion of the TCG 50K was none other than Josh McClain.
Josh McClain.
Yeah, so this is really awkward because we were almost recorded a podcast with him. Well, we did. We talked to him, and you guys already know the story. The recording didn't turn out.
We hung out
very
with Josh McClain for an hour.
Basically, yeah. That's what happened. And he's a real cool dude. And it was really funny because Mike, didn't he tell you that he hopes that he does something else to warrant being back on the podcast?
So I played him when I was still sitting undefeated, which was really nice, going into Modern, and got absolutely crushed, outplayed. Like, I thought game two.
You're saying that the GP champion playing his GP winning list. Outplayed you.
To set this up, though, because it was so funny because he's such a nice guy in general. Like, he's like game two, like, I thought I was ahead, and then, like, within two turns, I was just like, oh. And, like, I'm like, you had your pod set up, like, three or four turns ahead. And then and then he's like, well, hopefully I do something good enough again to deserve getting back on the podcast. So
congratulations.
Like, well.
hopefully we'll have him back on. I'm definitely hoping that he'll definitely accept our offer. I know I think we all talked to him. I think Jordan may not have talked to him, but I know Mike and I definitely.
Oh, I did at the bar, actually.
Oh, okay. So we all talked to him. Yeah. He's all cool with us, and hopefully we'll have him back on. So he can, you know, definitely tell us about his experience or just have him back on as a guest and not necessarily talk about anything in particular, except for whatever we're talking about that week. Anyway, so the top eight of... Now, this was a split format, but the top eight was played out with Standard. Josh was playing, you know, the stock Mono Blue Devotion list that we've come to know and love. Was he playing anything spicy in his list?
Have this open, but we'll talk about this a little more. But the TCG player list just set up so well.
We'll definitely discuss that later.
JK.
He was playing, and a lot of players were actually playing this. He was playing a main deck Domestication, mm-hmm. So that nice rarity shifted card that got released in M14, good old uncommon rare. Probably just to help with I wonder what that is there.
I mean, it takes something like really good.
Oh, Forest Reckoner.
It's good. I think honestly too, it's probably insane in the main or in the mirror. So like,
oh yeah, that's
like,
true.
If you have
probably
Thassa,
just
if you have Thassa and they have Thassa, then like you can Domestication to turn on your Thassa and turn theirs off on the same turn, which is actually just like nutty. But
it's true.
Good against any of the creature decks, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, that's probably what it's there for. I think you hit the nail on the head with a mirror match. I think that actually is a huge... Taking someone's Nightville Spectre.
Like, is also pretty insane, right? It's power less than four, or...
At the beginning of your upkeep, if it's four or greater, you sack it.
Oh, yeah. God. So you take their Thassa, right?
At the beginning of your end step, excuse me.
Never mind. I'm living in Magic Christmas Land. It doesn't work. But you can take the creature, you can turn off theirs. No, I just looked it up.
Okay,
It probably helps out a lot there. But it's also an enchantment, just like a lot of the lists were running Claustrophobia.
Yeah.
Which taps down a creature but has two blue in its casting cost. So a lot of these things are just there also because they have utility and add to devotion.
Right.
That's a good point.
That's fair. So, definitely, you know, keep your eye on that. I think that's definitely, you know, either, you know, things like Claustrophobia or Domestication are going to start showing up in these lists.
Like Curse of the Swine in the sideboard.
Oh, okay. So that's kind of
Pinky, 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 pinky.
Brian Josh. With the spice.
Oh, yeah. And then,
with the spice.
Yeah, one of Curse of the Swine on the side. And everything else kind of looks pretty, par for the course. I know a lot of both Mono Blue and Esper lists are also coming back to playing Jace Memory Adept as a possible kill condition,
mm-hmm.
Which I think is really good. And I think that having another Planeswalker kill condition, you know, potentially even over something like a Blood Baron in Esper specifically, might be the way to go. I know that obviously there is a heavy hero's downfall,
metagame
right now, but there was only four of those, so
right. No, I mean. I like Big Jace a lot.
I definitely, because I know that you played that in your sideboard.
Uh-huh. I played two. Yeah, it's just a finisher. Like, especially if you can like live the dream and get both in your hand, your opponent's like, fine, whatever. I'll take 10 heroes. I'll mill 10 heroes down low. You're like, gotcha, <"Couch>, bitch. And, like, a card that's great tech for that, for the Esper matchup, that I saw, Gary Zagopoulos. I'm gonna mess up his last name, but he's a player out of where are they from? Mansfield. Plays in the Saturday stuff at Comic Town a lot. He was playing a one of Elixir of Immortality. Mm-hmm. And he said in his testing, he goes, the Esper matchup literally goes down to who mills someone first if both people knew how to play it properly. Because both people are going to counter each other's Aetherlings, and you're going to just be on the, like, well, I hope I mill you first. And he got to live that dream where he's like, Elixir of Immortality, and his opponent is like, jaws dropped. He's like, I assume you have no responses, so I'll activate Elixir Immortality. And shuffles like 35 cards into his library again.
Right.
And he's like, and his opponent's just like, yeah, we're done here. So I think I'm going to try that out.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely something I've heard of as being a possible solution to that, to that mirror match. Just because, like, it eventually does come down to that. So,
yeah, no, most mirrors come down to that.
So, like, you know, like your other win conditions, even something like Aetherling, if they nab it with, like, a Thoughtseize, like, you're just going to be like, well, I'm just going to play this game, and then I get to pull all my cards back in order, and you don't. So,
which is another interesting line. In games 2 and 3, it almost feels incorrect to keep an open hand with Aetherling. Because, like, I've turned the one Thoughtseize being such a thing, and you're like, well, here you go.
There you go. Yeah.
And, like, oh, I hope I draw another way to win. So, yeah, I was really intrigued by the Elixir of Immortality, and it blew me away.
I mean, it used to be a big game when you were the entire mirror match was Drown Yards.
Yeah,
you drown right, yard? Yeah. Mill for three? Mill for three?
Mill for three.
Now, not to go off a little bit of a tangent, but I know that a lot of Esper lists have started to accept Ashiok back into their main decks. Because I saw that in the 50K.
Yeah.
I saw me get... you know, beaten to death pretty much by Ashiok against this Esper list, just because it felt like it was something I needed to deal with against, you know, I was playing Black-Green Devotion, and it just felt like it was a card that I needed to interact with and deal with, or it was just going to take over the game, it felt.
Yeah.
Because, like, it's these things like, you know, play my...
They Desecration
can,
Demon.
Oh, yeah, they can just snap stuff like Desecration Demon or, you know, Nightveil Spectre.
Sure.
And, like, I just can't have that. What do you guys think about that card?
I'm still under-impressed. Like, I think that, like you said, it can just take over a game,
mm-hmm.
but so can anything. You know what I mean?
Sure. I mean, well, I'm not anything.
Well,
I mean,
no,
you can't
just
say, like, anything can take over the game.
No, like, I guess I'm not establishing a good argument, but yeah, like, I'm underwhelmed. I think maybe it's good in your matchup.
Mm-hmm.
It's not very good in the mirror. It's not going to live long enough in red green. I mean, in the mirror, like, I hope to hit an Aetherling and get lucky. That's really the game, I guess. Against you is the only thing it's really good for, and I would just probably rather play Nightveil Spectre.
I guess.
I don't know. What do you think, Mike?
I think people will still keep it in the wrong matchups, and that's why when you say underperforms, it's probably because most people don't keep it in correctly, but it's a fine card.
I mean, like, take a look at it this way. Like, if you're going to go into, like, if you're playing an Esper Mirror Match, you're going to go into, like, the Jace sideboard play, and then, I mean, Ashiok just helps get you there.
Well,
sure.
I think one thing Ashiok does do, like, you're talking about, like, well, how do you protect your Elspeth from a Hero's Downfall? Well, you present something else that they have to cast Hero's Downfall.
I'm right.
Saying, you know, kind of like what Jace does. So if they don't have a way to answer it immediately, then they have to use a Hero's Downfall on that, and they're like, oh, cool, Elspeth, and then they're down. You know, so there's that logic to it. You know, it's a fine card. It does attack from a different angle, which, you know, the Esper decks are not a linear strategy. You know what I mean? So they want different ways to win the game, and Ashiok is fine. I don't, you know, the list that had four Ashioks from a couple weeks ago. I don't know if that's right, but I'd rather have access to some than none.
Probably. I don't know about main board. I think the main board's probably a mistake, in my opinion.
It's probably true.
I've been testing it out of the board, and more often than not, like in most matchups, I go, no, I'm not going to put that card in. Like you said, I think it's incorrect to slot it in more often than not.
Right.
And I think there's more universal cards to play.
Sure.
The mistake I made this weekend was I played a grinder on Friday, like a 6-round grinder, played the mirror 4 times, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I took out all these, like, all these cards for certain matchups, like, that would have been good in the red-green, put in gains phase and stuff like that, didn't play Esper once. It was the nut. It was like, well, you guys are cute, and I'm glad I looked through cards for you, back in the box. But, so I don't know where the meta's at right now, but...
I mean, the meta really is... I mean, is going to be your fast red decks, your control esper decks, your...
Well, no, I know what the meta is. I know what decks are played. Maybe it's just more the meta is wide open. Yeah. And that, like, I just happened to play against all the Esper people in the world. Out of this 27-man event that I played in, I think if we looked and said, like, 15 were playing Esper. And then 12 was a smattering between Mono Black and Red-Green Devotion.
Right.
So it was just like, oh, my God, like, this is a disaster.
Right, but, I mean, something like the Red-Green Devotion list, I feel like you probably have a pretty good game against.
Oh, yeah, it's pretty much fun to play.
Yeah, exactly, because, so. I mean, they, it's hard for them to recover from that.
No, yeah, it's just definitely weird to play all Esper one day. It's to make your sideboard changes like you're supposed to do. Like, I felt like I was doing something right. And then go, oh, that was fucking terrible. So,
yeah, I'm listening. I can definitely understand that. Now, another list that kind of shows up that's interesting in this top eight, and just to be fair, something that is weird in this top eight is that, you know, we're talking about top eight lists, and in a split format, that's not necessarily always representative of what is actually, like, the best deck or the most winningest deck,
well,
necessarily.
Well, in split format, too, I mean, you're talking about, like, you know, you could top 8 based off your modern, and then top 8, like, look at my standard deck, and be like, well, that's not...
That's garbage, right.
Right. But something that is interesting that shows up in standard is a black-white aggro list. So, this list actually looks very similar to the red-white aggro list. It is basically the same exact list, roughly, except instead of splashing for Boros Charm, you're splashing for Orzhov Charm, which is interesting. You have your Gall the Shrines, your Temples of Silence, only playing 23 lands, so only 3 Mutavault, 11 planes, and 1 Orzhov Guildgate, which is kind of awkward. Mm-hmm. And then in the sideboard, the things that you get with the Black Splash is Sync Collector,
which is
pretty good game against, you know, the control decks, the blacklist, stuff like that. I was looking at Orzhov Charm and I'm like, well, that's kind of interesting. Can you? It still is kind of Wrath Protection. You can bounce your own guy.
Well, I mean, you also like you, have
and
a
you
number
can kill a guy. That's kind of the huge thing,
right?
Too.
You also have a number of creatures you can return.
Yeah, that's true too.
You know, I will say that it's really awkward against like Anger of the Gods because they're exiled, and you're like, oh, I wish I could bring this back to play.
But I mean, like Anger of the Gods, you always have Brave. Like that's your answer. So hopefully your creatures aren't dying from that; they're just dying from combat or what have you. And you can be like, well, I'll get my. I mean, you'd be living the dream if you're going to get your Soldier of the Pantheon back. That's your best one drop. Sometimes, you know, you get that Judge's Familiar and kind of get you. But, I mean, as you look as the white-red list goes, the way that it's grown is it doesn't even play, you know, Judge's Familiar. You know, it goes to a way more aggressive slant with the 1-1 battalion guy. Boros Elite.
Right.
So... I just thought it was interesting that I've always kind of thought about the black splash to the red splash. I still like the white red list a little bit more. Rounding out top eight. There were 4 mono blue devotion lists, 1 red green devotion list, 1 Esper control list, 1 Orzhov aggro list, and then 1 mono black aggro. Now this is that list that I was talking about. That was showing up online a lot.
Yeah.
Just has Downfalls, Thought Seizes, and Ultimate Prices as its spells. 24 land, 4 Mutavault, 20 swamp, and then things like Desecration Demon, Night Veil Spectre, Pack Rat, Rakdos Calculator, Thrill Kill Assassin, and Tormented Hero. So, I think that this list is pretty interesting as well. Just for the sheer fact that you have things like Thrill Kill Assassin.
Thrill Kill Assassin is sweet because it's a 2/3.
Yeah, it's
so
a 2/3.
It trades things well, and Death Touches him out of the way.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like, are you going to block my 2/3 with your 6/6 demon? I don't think so. So you're going to take 2. And like, it just gets through things that people don't want to have to deal with, so that's kind of nice. And you still play like a big game with Desecration Demons, and you can still like just win games randomly with Pack Rat, which is always kind of fun. But I do like this list. I don't know how much it will still show up, just because I think Mono Red is faster, and I think if you want to play an aggro list, then you should probably look towards, you know, Ben Lundquist list, or, you know, the list that Patrick Sullivan, suggested that Dave Nolan actually, you know, played in the standard portion of the 50K and did very, very well with. But it's definitely an interesting list, and I think something that a lot of people might underestimate. And again, it does show up online, so people are still playing this list, tweaking it. That's pretty much the top eight. Speaking of Dave, he did show up in the top 16.
Yeah.
So he did. Woo! He did a really good job. Mike also day two, which is pretty awesome. Now the interesting thing about the TCG 50K. It was very small.
It was tiny.
It was terrible. Very, very, very tiny.
Tiny. Sorry. Tiny, not terrible. Well, that's
it. Wrong T. It
was
wrong
terrible.
Tea.
It was terrible.
It
yeah. Yeah, we'll get there.
Yeah. So it was very tiny. So anyone that day two'd instantly got $200. Instantly.
It was like you passed go.
No, if you day two'd, you passed go. You got $200. No,
they sent a check that I'll see in like 3 weeks.
Okay.
So delayed go.
I understand that, but like...
No, I know what you're saying.
The banker's taking a piss. And like,
if you could have literally not won a match when you day two'd and still they would have given you $200. So, very, very tiny. Very, I suppose.
All you had to do is not show up.
Yeah, if you didn't show up, if you left earlier or showed up, you literally might as well grab $200 and just lit it on fire and throw it out the window. Like, fuck this. I don't need this.
They'd be down $400.
Shh. $200 that someone gave them.
So you're still down $400. I don't think receiving money and then burning that money negates you of law. You would be a terrible entrepreneur. If we ever try to monetize this, you are not in charge of that project.
That's
not happening, by the way. You don't have to pay for this.
Yes, yeah, who would pay for this?
We'll pay you to listen to this.
That would probably be the case. So yeah, so
take a penny, leave a penny jar.
So yeah, if you day two'd, first of all, if you didn't go and you could have, and you're a decent Magic player, you probably missed out on $200. Let's be fair. But yeah, top 64 was the cut, so it wasn't even like X2 because that's what they started out.
It started as X2. I mean, I drew my last round awkwardly,
yeah,
purposefully, but drew so X2 won to get into day two.
Right. So even X3's made it, but it was either X2 or top 64, whichever is greater. So now, what do you guys think? So we'll kind of dive into our actual personal experiences with this. Mine's not terribly interesting. I didn't play very well. I won a modern match with my Grizzle Brand reanimator list, and that was like the highlight of my day. And I was like, I had fun playing modern. It can't happen. So that was definitely a lot of fun. We'll start with Jordan though.
Yeah, it was fine. I didn't make day two, and I was pretty bummed about that actually. I think I played a little poor in standard against Naya Control. I was playing Esper. I played against Naya Control, and I think I misplayed a couple times because I had actually never played a deck that was real, which was a really big mistake on my part. Round five, I got the pleasure of playing Morgan. I got the pleasure of crushing Morgan 2-0.
Hey, high five for those who crushed Morgan in a big event.
High five.
All right.
Can I do this? Can I do one of these? Can I high five? Yeah.
No, it was fun. Morgan actually had two legendary artifacts on the table at the same time. Tried to scum me out of a game.
So
he got offended when I tried to call a judge. I don't know.
No, you didn't call. Nor did you try to call.
Well, I looked like I was going to. You actually had a look on your face because I looked away from the table.
Yes. If he did call a judge, I would have been a little bit offended that he would call a judge on a friend in a tournament that literally. At that point in time, like, I wasn't going to make it. I wasn't going to do anything. So if he called a judge, I would have been like, what the fuck?
I think it was elimination round, too, though. So I felt, like, kind of important. But
I guess.
It was, like, the X2s. But anyway.
Yeah. Anyway, no. I wanted to speak to our listeners and say that due to a work schedule change, I haven't been able to play Magic very much. So I'm real rusty and real shitty. So mistakes were made.
To be fair, this change is very similar to the change that happens to the deck when you go from 60 to 61 cards.
Fair enough.
Did you know playing less Magic makes you a worse player? The more you know without your instep.
Oh, Morgan, I'm so sorry.
Anyway, so that was kind of my day. I played green red tron, excuse me, in modern. Nothing really too eventful. I watched the top 8 coverage on Sunday from home. I don't really have stories per se, other than like I was just pretty disappointed with my results.
Yeah, we definitely me speaking for Jordan and I, we definitely should have came back on that second day and played. And they had a 5K that was actually going on, and apparently there were around 60 something people there.
Yeah,
so it was over 100. It had to be over 100.
Oh, was it?
Oh, but it's still, it was an 8-round event that was almost done by the time top 8 was going on. So.
Oh, fair enough. Yeah. So still, probably relatively an easy time to play in. But I've been pretty disheartened with my experience playing, just because I still just haven't found something that I really enjoy playing in Standard. And I don't know why that is. Maybe it's just because I'm not spending enough time with the deck. But everything that I play just did not feel like I was having fun like I had at last Standard. So it's kind of hard, just because it's hard for me to be like, oh, I'm going to play this deck and then not play it, because I just don't have, there's no opportune time to play. And that's why I've been, hopefully leaning towards playing more Modo. And by the end of this week, I should know what my next schedule is. So depending on what that is, I might be investing more into Modo and less into paper. That's kind of where it is right now. Because obviously playing in live tournaments and not playing as much as even just going to FNM, it definitely hurts. And I didn't think it would hurt as much as it did, but a lot of it has to do with me not being able to play, and a lot of it has to do with me not liking what I'm playing. I think you perform a lot better when you are playing something that you actually enjoy, going through the minutia of playing. When I'm just playing Black Green Devotion, I'm going, I really don't give a shit anymore. I just don't give a shit what I draw off the top.
Same with Gordon.
Well, I'm curious though, because in last Standard you played the Raw.
Right.
So did you not enjoy that?
But no, I love playing that deck. But so it was different cards. I get to play things like Liliana the Veil, which is an awesome fucking card.
Okay.
I get to play things like Mutavault, which is awesome. I liked playing that deck. And I get to play with, good mana bases and, things of that nature. I liked playing that deck because I liked playing the cards.
Okay, no, I was just asking.
Yeah, the Black Green Devotion deck, those cards are fine, but they don't feel necessarily as powerful as the cards that I was playing with. And I just think that I think I need to branch out into something different, just because I don't think mid-range is good right now. Unless I'm playing... I do have something that I have expressed to Mike. I actually really want to play his list, but I can't because he's borrowing my Stormwrath Dragons to play his list. So it's a bit of an issue. So I'd like to play that list, but I'm not buying 2 more goddamn Stormwrath Dragons. I don't need 6.
I'll get some. Don't worry.
It's okay. When's the next time I'm really going to play in a tournament? Come on.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
Never.
No, that's true. I'm going to the PTQ, but it's sealed, so who cares?
I'm looking forward to that.
I know, it should be exciting and fun. So my experience was disappointing, except for kind of Modern. I didn't play the last round of Modern, or the last 2 rounds of Modern, just because I just didn't want to play Magic anymore.
I hung out with Morgan for... We hung out for 2 hours.
I know. We played last round. Jordan played... You played what? I think an extra round of Modern more than I played? Or...
No, I played 2 rounds because it was the elimination rounds. Yeah,
so I only played 2 rounds. I won against Affinity and lost against Affinity because one of the Affinity players played Rest in Peace. And I was like, well... Burp, 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 burp.
I just like the way you said that a lot.
But I really like my deck list. And in all honesty, one change that I actually was looking at on some forums that people have suggested making is taking out the one of a burial rites and putting in Whip of Erebos, which seems real spicy with things like Borborygmos and Grizzlebrand. So I definitely want to try that. I don't know when the next time I'm going to be playing Modern is, but when I do, I want to try that. It's going to be fun. So I don't know where I was going with that.
I don't know where I was going with that.
Anyway, so we sat out for the rest of Modern, but we did get to see an interesting matchup between who was it? Dave Nolan and it was Mike.
See, I like how you set that up. Usually, when you try to set up this cliffhanger, it's god awful. But that was a good one.
No problem. I appreciate that.
I like that one.
Yeah, I lost that matchup. That was bad.
To be fair, you were playing Junk by David Ochoa.
Yeah. Sorry, Ochoa. That deck sucks.
yeah. Sorry.
And Dave was on Affinity.
Yeah.
And that's a bad matchup.
It's not a great matchup, but he drew extraordinarily well.
Yeah.
Honestly, by the end of that day and going into day 2, I my back was just killing me so much for just carrying this entire damn podcast and events. Jesus, guys.
Oh, wow.
Yo,
there's this guy.
We got to thank Mike.
Tell me I'm wrong.
And he's silence. Not. He's not wrong. Silence. I'm not disagreeing with him. Like he lends credence to this podcast. That one person on this podcast you should probably listen to. It's Mike. You should listen to Mike.
Between the three of us, we've won about $200 a piece in the past 2 weeks.
Or between the one of me, I've earned $700.
Correct.
Though Dave earned a grand this last weekend. So
wasn't it? No, wasn't it two?
No, it was a grand.
Oh, was it just
top
one?
16 is one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I guess I still can't even be sad for him. Like, yeah, exactly. Oh, Dave, you only want 1,000 here, buddy.
Oh, you're that's too bad.
No, my day started really well. I exoed standard. Granted, that was 2 buys, but I mean,
it's still pretty good.
Played Josh McClain round 6, soundly defeated. It was frustrating. Game 1, it was land screwed. Like, I had 2 mana, never drew the 3rd one, and had 3 Lilianas in hand. I'm just like, well, it'd be cool to cast this. But they're not very good against that deck anyway, so no. You sack something and it comes back. then so he in game 2 I really thought it was ahead, and it got bad quick, so he had the right mix of pod targets and cards that he had drawn in his hand as well, so that was over quick. I didn't feel bad about that though. Like, he's definitely, especially in modern, like, much better player than myself.
Oh yeah. No offense,
but it did start a downward trend for me in modern. I did, you know, the junk list, it was alright. Definitely had some very not stellar draws.
Yeah.
I managed to beat Blue at Red Control the next round, lost to Dave, and then going into the last round, I was terrified I was going to make day 2 at X2, and wasn't able to see my standings, so I, you know, got paired against someone, the guy was really nice, we talked about if we could split, we didn't know, he's like, well, let's play for now, we'll talk about it through the match, you know, game 1, he's on Affinity, and I was very tilted by the match with Dave, like, I was just crushed, and I'm like, oh god, here we go again.
Mm.
Get crushed game 1. And, of course, now at this point, like, we're not really talking draw anymore. proceed to win a pretty close game, too. I was able to blow him out on a pretty key turn where he blocked with an Edge Champion and was able to kill his other threat that he attacked with that turn with an Abrupt Decay to make the Edge Champion no longer have... oh, crap.
Protection from all colors.
Right, but it, Metalcraft is the...
Oh, yeah, Metalcraft.
Which, you know, stops him protection, so... And then so afterwards he's like, well, you know, do you want to just split? And I'm like, yes. You know, like my opponent is saying that we should split. He's on the play for game 3. So we sign the slip, as a split, and then as a draw, I should say. And we play the 3rd game. I draw a hand that had 6 lands and a Creeping Corrosion and kept it, and blew him out.
So, like,
didn't matter. We drew in. We sort of sat there with crossed fingers, and we were like 54th and 55th or something like that. So, came back the next day, started off with a really frustrating, literally the only loss I've had with my current standard deck to Esper and Constructed since I built the damn thing. A lot of mulligans, so that was rough. Won my next round, and then didn't win another round until my last opponent didn't show up. So, yeah.
Didn't show up.
Yeah, didn't show up. So
I would have liked that $200.
So, would you have 2 and 3 then on the day?
So,
including the buy?
2-3 on...
Or including the walkover, I guess.
Yeah, 2-3 on the day. So I ended up, my overall record in the event was 8-5-1.
And you made $200.
And that's a $200 winning record.
Woo!
There.
TCG championship.
No, I felt really bad. She didn't show. I know her name was Chelsea, I think, if I remember correctly. I know because a guy came up and was like, oh, is this my table? And I went, are you Chelsea? And he's like, no. but I was like, I waited purposely for like 5 minutes, and like I was trying not to get the attention of a judge. Because I was terrified. Like, I wanted her to get back in time, get her money. Now, luckily, she was there to start the day, meaning they had her tax form. Because we had to fill out the tax form to begin the day. So I talked to the judge. She said I wasn't going to drop her. Hopefully, they'll still send her the check.
Yeah.
But, like, I had another guy come up, and he was like, well, she shouldn't lose her money. Let me just sign that for you. And I'm like, no, go away. Like, I'm, you know, as much as I want to make sure she got her prize, I'm not going to have someone forge a slip. And I would encourage you never to let anybody do that.
Yeah.
Because then you could lose your money, and it's not worth it. Because
you're banned for that.
Well, I mean, it's just not good.
Yeah. That sounds like a bannable thing to me. I don't know.
Like, well, I mean,
potentially, yeah.
We'll talk about things that can get you disqualified, but
so or not once you win a game.
I also had a really close games in Modern where I just felt like I was talking to Dave afterwards, who's a very, very good player, and when you talk about pros, you know, David Ochoa is my David Ochoa is my pro, like Duke is Morgan's pro.
It's true.
I really enjoy what the guy does and how he plays. And honestly, in his article, he said all the matchups were like pretty much all the matchups were close with a slight positive to the winning matchups. And I just honestly think that I'm just not good enough with the deck to win these close matchups. Mm-hmm. And I just don't know Modern as well as he does.
That's true.
So I feel like I think I stumbled it. Like, I tested the deck list for a while. But again, we've talked about how Cockroach Race is good testing, so I should stop doing that.
yeah, we need to get on Modo.
But it's just, it was, I don't know, it was disconcerting. I lost a lot of really close matches to some pretty frustrating top decks. And that's going to happen. But that's the difference between running well and running poorly in the first place. Is, you know, when you're running well, the right card is on top of your deck. When running poorly, you draw a Razor Verge ticket as your sixth land over and over and over again.
Is it your layer of hell? You know, like, you die, go to hell, you draw that exact same
thing. I can tell you how many times I did it. It was just like, oh, yeah, I like, by the end of the day, I was playing against a burn opponent the last round who did not know that I only have one black source. It was really awkward, so, like, I'm alive and I should not have been because of Deathrite Shamans. And, like, I'm just like, well, if I draw, like, a fetch land here, I can actually still win the game. And it was just like, but it's, I'm going to draw a Razor Verge ticket. I know I am. Oh, look, Razor Verge ticket. It's like, take it out of the sleeve, rip it in half. You know what I mean? Just be done with it.
Would there have been anything else that you would like to have played instead of the junk list?
Yeah, I wish I would have not, you know, been a freaking, you know, whiner and been scaredy cat. And, like, I honestly, I was afraid of, like, not playing a real deck when there was money on the line. And it turned out that the standard, I was, you know, I was right about how good I was able to do it standard, that I could have done it anyways, but I should have played the devotion list just to try it out. Going forward, I think I'm going to keep testing that deck. I don't know how I'll play Modern again.
Mm-hmm.
I had good results with Twin when I played it as well. Like, I don't know, I think I need to stick to, if I don't know a deck that well, I still need to stick to blue decks, because the more cards I can draw in matchups that I don't know that well, the better it is for me overall.
Sure.
So that was me, and got to watch Dave crush most of day two, and then have, like, one of the most ridiculous things happen.
Yeah, so we actually, this was quite pretty interesting. This is the last round of Swiss, and this was, Dave actually got a feature match. It was actually on camera, so Jordan and I watched it on stream. Mike was there.
Right.
And he was playing against someone playing a pretty interesting deck in Modern. He was basically playing Gogo or Cobblade, as it were, with some interesting choices, but it was an Esper list. And, you know, it was very difficult. Apparently, Squadron Hawk is pretty good against most of Affinity.
Just when you have one in every game, too. That was...
Yeah. So.
Well, the crazy thing about Squadron Hawk is once you have one,
you have four.
So, that was, it was, that I felt like that kind of won the game in game one, him having just being able to get that blocker.
Yeah.
Definitely helped, but it was close, and there were plenty of you know, it was definitely close for game one. Shift into game two, and I'm watching the stream, Mike's watching it live, and in commentary, they're looking at the Dave's opponent's hand, and they're like, oh, the looks like he has a Hercules recall. It's Frank Lepore and Caleb Durward that are commentating. And Caleb goes, I don't see that in his sideboard. Like, I don't see that card.
They have the list in front of them.
Yes, they have the list in front of them. He's like, I don't see it. That can't be Hercules recall. I don't see that in you know, in the...
He didn't reg it.
Excuse me. Dave's opponent's registration. But, you know, it was confirmed that was the card that was in there. And they, you know... Caleb Durward goes over, you know, alerts the judging staff to this. And then that kind of, you know, that's where we see it. You know, that's where Jordan and I see it on our end. You know, so what kind of happened on your end from, you know, kind of from that? So,
wait, hold on. Before you say that, Hercules Recall, for people that don't know, bounces all artifacts to their owner's hand.
Blue and colorless, instant, return all artifacts to their owner's
hand. So it is a hoser for Dave's deck, essentially. And that's why this is so interesting.
Yeah, Dave was on Affinity. I don't know if we actually said that.
It is the hoser for Dave's deck in Modern. I know we don't... You might not be a Modern player, so that's kind of the thing. It's a really key card in the matchup.
Correct.
But
so I'm standing there and then, like, watching... So they cast the Hercules Recall. And Dave's hilarious to watch. Like, if you ever watch him, like, play, you didn't see on camera, his face, like, for the most part, stays the same, but his eyes tell you everything, and he was just so exasperated by this match so far, because game one was, like, a 30-minute match.
Because, yeah, it was
like,
very long.
Because he gained a bunch of life, and then his opponent slowly beat him down with a Creeping Tar Pit and a Sword of Fire and Ice. But
it was heartbreaking,
it
actually.
It was so miserable to watch. You're just like, Eddie, just, he has... his opponent was at a very low life total. He was at one near the end of the game. He was at one. So Dave plays two Galvanic Blasts in main deck in his list, and you're just like, just be a fucking strong Galvanic fucking Blast.
Yeah, just do never
it.
Does.
Just do it, and he doesn't, and it's heartbreaking.
So game two, he goes up for this attack, and like he gets Hercules recalled. Again, you can see him just go, you know what I mean? Like, scooping his cards up, and then the judge comes over and, like, you know, stops the game all of a sudden. And I'm like, oh, wait, what's this? And they're like, hey, we need to talk to you about this. And I overhear the judge saying, like, this card is in his list, blah, blah, blah. So they pull him aside, and Dave keeps it pretty straight. He just, like, starts shuffling his deck for game three.
That was the best on the stream. You see, like, because we hear the commentators say this, right? And we hear, like, oh, they're going to go. You hear, you know, Lauren put his headset down. You hear the clatter because TCG doesn't have production value. And they put the headset on the desk. And then, like, you see Dave look over. And then he just puts his hand down. And a couple seconds later, he looks up. He goes, oh.
Starts sideboarding for game three. So his opponent got pulled aside. Eventually, it was ruled that he was allowed. We talked to the judge after the match, so I'll just say what happened during the match.
Yeah.
It was ruled that, you know, the way it works is whatever the sideboard list you have with you is the sideboard list you keep, you know, during, for a deck reg error. Now, obviously, this is a little bit more than just a deck reg error because Affinity was all over the place at the 50K.
Correct. It was like, a huge part of the metagame.
You could have just walked around the tables day one and been like, man, these Hercules recalls would be sweet day two. And that's why it goes from just a deck reg error to, you're a dirty cheater error. And I'm not saying that guy is. I'm just saying that's where the spectrum goes.
Right.
So he comes back. They shuffle up for game three. He's allowed to keep the recalls. And then, you know, they get a bunch of time extension, whatever, but they end up drawing it out. The guy just drew a string of removal. And again, Dave's eyes just like, oh, yeah, this one too. Cool. So they draw, and we stuck around a little bit later, Dave and I did, to talk to the head judge. And the head judge essentially told us that they checked a number of things. I'm sharing this with you because, you know, if this happens to you, you know, you should, you know, because I asked Dave, I asked him if he thought about appealing the ruling of a game loss as opposed to a match loss. And he said it didn't. You know, Dave's not the kind of guy to try and get wins that way anyways. Me, I'm appealing at least for an explanation from the judge. Right. And that's just me because, like, that felt dirty. You know, and nothing against the guy. You see, we're not throwing his name out there for a reason. You know what I mean? But we talked to the judge afterwards, and he said that the first thing to do is ask opponents from, you know, earlier opponents if they saw the card.
Right.
And the opponents confirmed they had seen the card. But as I asked the head judge there, I was like, well, the opponents who had seen Hercules Recall were Affinity opponents, correct? And he's like, well, yes. And I'm like, how does that help anyway?
He was cheating more than just Dave. Like,
so...
Oh, yeah, I got cheated, too.
Well, he wanted to make sure that, first off, it wasn't just like, yo, you heard that Dave, yo, he's, oh, I'm playing Dave, that guy's on Affinity, hold on a second. And Dave even said that this player had requested to be on camera because his deck was sort of unique.
Yeah.
So, you know, you generally wouldn't cheat when you're like, hey, I'm going to cheat on camera for the fun. Irony, by the way, the guy I sat next to last round, Alex Bertini.
Oh, really?
Yeah. His first I asked him, he said it was his first paper event, so... This was kind of funny as we're talking.
Not about in a while, right?
Yeah, he was very jovial. I think hopefully, you know, he'll be, you know, all good. Anyways, I just thought it was sort of a random non sequitur. And the judge also said that the way they were able to, you know, quote unquote confirm it wasn't cheating, is that the vendor that he bought them from, he had two. I think it was Chronicles, Hercules Recalls. Chronicles, you know, they were white bordered with the legend symbol on it. Chronicles. There were vendors, and only, you know, Hercules Recall was not a card that a lot of the vendors had on them. And so this particular vendor remembered having those two versions, you know, those two white bordered Hercules Recalls, and they remembered selling it to him. And they vouched that they sold it to him Saturday morning, not Sunday, not, you know, before that match. Okay. And the judge took that as reason enough to say that it was a deck reg error. Okay. And he said his deck sheet also had a bunch of other scribbles on it, like he had registered something and scribbled it up and then changed the register before he had handed the deck list in. So you could tell that there was like a thought process for the cards anyways, and you could conceivably see that he just forgot. It was like kitchen finks that he wasn't running anymore. Big difference between kitchen finks and Hercules Recall.
Now,
my thought on it is whether or not you can prove all this stuff. You know, if I do that, if that's me, you know what I mean, in that kind of a matchup, and I get a DQ, I'm not crying about it. I'd be upset at myself more than anything else. And the fact that he only got a game loss to me was surprising. And there were a number of people watching the event live who were saying things very loudly like, well, I guess I should just cheat next time. I know that's okay to do, blah, 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 blah. And, you know, honestly, they had valid points. You know, as long as you can, you know, well, this guy vouched for me. And a number of the, and I'm saying this to you guys before we started here, a number of the vendors were sponsoring players in the event. You know what I mean? Like, for example, like Star City, if it was a Star City event, and a Star City writer, you know what I mean, has something like this happen, of course the Star City vendor is going to vouch for them. You know what I mean? You know, so you see where there could be like...
Yeah, Pastimes had players in the event, right?
Right. I don't think it was Pastimes.
No. I'm not saying that. Like, the more giving credence to what you said.
Right. Yeah. I mean, but they, you know, so you could have just been like, hey, if this happens, just vouch for me. Yeah, sure, no problem. Again, this may be a small thing. I even said, like, what if the person had not vouched for him? And they said, well, then it gets tricky and they'd have to go in and investigate more. And I'm assuming at that point it's a match loss. It felt bad to me. You know, so obviously it could have just all been circumstantial, and it seems like it was, and it's upsetting for that, you know, that it went down that way, and they ended up drawing, and they both drew into top 16 anyways, once the match was a draw.
Right.
But it was just, I don't know, it was one of the weirdest things I've ever seen on camera.
It's definitely weird to see on camera, because it's weird to think about, because this would have been something, like, if this match had not been on camera, like, this would have never happened. Like,
that's the thing. And I will say that's the only thing I'm going to give credit to the coverage for.
Is pointing this out.
Pointing this out.
Being on day two and like, listening to coverage, like, nothing against Frank Lepore or Caleb Durward.
It was terrible.
It was not ideal.
And I think, like Frank Lepore. He is very pleasant.
Yeah.
I would just rather at your instep grab a mic and get in the booth. Like,
us. Interesting. I'd rather just us do it.
Well, of course.
I mean, why not? But no, I both Caleb Durward and Frank Lepore both do videos. I enjoy, you know, watching and listening to their videos.
Caleb Durward's very knowledgeable about the game.
Yeah, exactly.
The problem is half the stream was them talking about the food they hadn't received.
It's just like, you know, right. It was it wasn't very representative of good coverage. And right. Like, I think sometimes we do get spoiled because there are some people that want more from coverage. But I mean, when you compare this to things like Star City and even, you know, things like Magic coverage, that blew them out of the water. Cool. And it's very unfortunate. Because, you know, this is a premier event for, you know, TCG.
This is their only...
This is their big event, yeah. I mean, like, we've talked about coverage a lot on this podcast. Like I said before, I come from an esports background where production value is dollars. Like MLG, for example, their players aren't as good as some of, like, WCS or, like, some Korea things, but their production value is insane. They're a multi-million-dollar company just in production values alone. And then you go to Magic coverage, and the guys, like, the guys over there at TCG player are using a normal webcam that's chopping at 25 frames per second. Like, I'm watching... It was a webcam.
Their mic stand was two totes stacked up on top of each other. Yeah. A piece of paper that said, do not touch.
Yeah, no. I'm looking at this, and I'm like... I walked into the venue hall, I see where all their production stuff is set up, and I'm really interested in that kind of stuff. And I'm like, I go, oh, I have that webcam. Like, that's the webcam I used to record the videos on AtYourInstep.com. And, like, I was just so underwhelmed, and, like, day one, they're still setting up the production equipment to stream the match, and there's, like, duct-taped cameras at the top of a pole that they just probably bought at Best Buy, because you could see the boxes that the stuff came out of thrown in the corner, and you're like, that was awful.
The venue, they picked a poor venue, and I'm sure, you know, they went to the Veterans Memorial because it was cheaper, but man, it was not good.
Oh, yeah, so for people that don't know, the Veterans Memorial and the Greater Columbus Convention Center are the two pseudo competing convention centers. They're tearing the one we were in this weekend down. Like, the Franklin County is like, no, it's god awful. It's tanked. The veterans smell bad. It smells bad inside. The whole
kid. Wait. Don't say the veterans smell bad.
Veterans definitely like to apologize to all old veterans.
I think we apologized to veterans last week too.
Did we? Oh man, sorry.
Well, we're still fucking up. I'm sorry.
We're still sorry about it. But yeah, so usually everything we talk about, like Star Cities, are held at the Greater Columbus Convention Center. Greater being an actual appropriate adjective in this comparison.
Mainly because it's across the street from Barley's.
No, mainly because it's just better.
It's just a better convention center. It's more up to date. The Veterans Center is a concrete building. It's just concrete. It's a concrete room, and that's all it is.
You're basically in a cinder block.
Yeah, and it was cheaper, and it fit their needs. Like, based on the amount of turnout they had this weekend, they probably barely made enough money to pay for that.
With a free event, you know, it's a free event in the first place.
That's true.
You know, but it's, man, I mean, I understood that they were trying to make it smaller than last year. I get that. Star City's Invitational was just north of 400. They're trying to make this their premier, a hard to get into event. Honestly, they should stop using points then. If that's
true.
Stop making me trade in.
Yeah. Don't. Well, I mean, like, Star City uses points, but they're not, like, physical cards.
It's like, I can lose my entry fee.
Yeah.
I can lose it. Like, oops, I don't know where I put it.
Right.
Right. Well, that's actually a really good point. Like, you could just, your entry to TCG could go up in a fire.
Yeah, sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to go more on the point. It didn't feel like an invitational to me.
No.
The way you describe the SCG Invitational, the way you watch the coverage of the SCG Invitational, you feel like it is their marquee event. All roads lead to this one. You know, where with this TCG thing, like, I sat down at this tournament hall, and I felt like it was like a shoddy diamond event.
Yeah, it was, I don't know, it was not good. The commentary when you saw it, when you heard it, was not good. The setup for the cameras were like, day two, I don't know if you guys said you were watching on camera.
Mm-hmm.
There was some, they set up right next to this giant window. The sun came out. You couldn't see the cards. And the commentators were like, well, the glare is big enough that I will see the cards. How is that an issue?
Yeah.
Right. Like, how is that even, the other thing is how close the commentators were to the actual, day two, early in the morning.
You could hear them from the table.
Yeah, day two early, they were literally only like 30 feet from each other, maybe, if that. And early in the morning before the 5K started, you literally only had 64 people in the room. So you could, they're like, you got to talk like this so they don't hear, oh man, look what he just drew. You know what I mean?
Right,
you can't say that.
Right.
Boom goes the dead. Oh, I'm sorry.
You know, Star Cities, now granted, they have better equipment, but you can't give that as a reason, as a cop-out. If you say you're going to do video for an event, then do good video for an event. Like,
I don't know. It's super weird because we had a TCG player 5K. Here in Columbus.
And more people!
Yeah.
In a better venue!
It will have a better venue. It's going to have more people. It's going to have more people just because you can pay money to get
it. I'm stealing your quote.
No, it's fine. But I mean, it felt like it had higher quality overall than their premier marquee event.
And it was held by Pez.
Yeah.
And it was better. That should be right.
But I mean, it's unfortunate that they didn't get someone like, I know Griffin Events is a very good, Comic Town, our local shop, does a lot of work with them for their PTQs.
Yeah, right.
And they're, Stephen Briggs is the front runner, the runner of that. Or,
yeah.
Or most of the time, he is he's the head judge for those events, stuff like that. So I don't know how much involvement he has or anything. But Griffin Events, we've never had an issue with them, and they run really good events.
Yeah.
So it was very unfortunate to see that they chose not to work with them. But I know they frequently work with Pez in most of their Midwest sort of events.
Something
anyway.
Very confused about, and it really is like, so why aren't they working with Griffin events? Why are they working with Pastimes? Why aren't they working with Pez, who, despite my things, put on very good tournaments? Star City puts on their own event.
Yeah.
It's Star City. It's not Star City presented by Pastime. It's Star City Games presenting the Star City Games Invitational.
Right.
And that's something that really bothered me about those two, is just all this Pastime stuff all over the place. And I'm like, what is this? This is the Pastimes event that happens to be a TCG thing where I have two buys. I was really under-impressed by that, and they're going to say, well, we don't have the funding that Star City does. Well, then get the funding.
Run better events.
Play better, Mike's comment to me after I was boned out, we'll just play better. Okay, thanks, buddy. But yeah, so the same thing can be said to the TCG player, play better. Based on this, I am not going to play next year. They say it's on the Northeast. Boston would be a fun trip to take. Not for this. They're rolling out one thing I said that they are doing well is they are rolling out a way to spend your TCG points. If you're not going to go to the Invitational next year, you can buy swag and stuff that with it. And I kind of like that. I would buy a jacket or something with 100 points. That'd be kind of neat. But
honestly, the jacket would probably be better than going to the Invitational.
No, yeah, based on this weekend.
Championship.
Yeah, absolutely. You'd
probably get more use out of it.
No. One of our friends who sold all of his points to the play goes, well, I can make money off of this event or I can lose all my points. So, there's...
You live, you learn.
Yeah, I'm not going to go back.
The way that this event was presented, it's not something that I am necessarily looking to attend or work towards attending in the future.
Yeah.
It's just... it is not something that I necessarily... The production value on it was necessarily good. And I guess it doesn't really matter. You shouldn't really give a shit about, how the tournaments run or anything like that. We didn't get actively cheated.
Okay, I'm sorry. They set up giant 32-inch TVs for the pairings board so they could scroll it. And they were taping the paper pairings
to two TVs
because they couldn't get it to work. And they're just like, look at that 3D technology. Yeah.
But I mean, when it comes...
It worked twice. Two rounds.
Two yeah. rounds.
Yeah. So when it comes down to it, it's a Magic tournament. It was local. If you were qualified, you probably should have been there. And obviously, if you were good in you know, made correct metagame calls and things like that, and you top 64 day two'd, you made money. So, I mean, like, you can't necessarily say that about most Magic tournaments. You can't say that about GPs. You can't say that about the Star City Games Invitational.
That's
right.
Fair.
So there's more players there in a fun competitive environment.
Yeah.
Well, so that's fair. So, Mike, like, you had a good experience at the event. You made money back. I think, I mean, let's just even take all the entry fees from all the TCG events combined. You've probably made your money back.
Oh, yeah.
Even then some. So what is your take on the event? Do you share a similar take? I mean, because you obviously have a more positive outlook to the
market. No, I mean, I'm glad they do it. It's cool that, you know, anything that competes with Star City is inherently a good thing, because then, like, we talk about, like, Star City, like, we're going to keep with Legacy. Well, if something else isn't pushing Modern and gets people to go play Modern, then Star City has no reason to ever have a Modern event. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
Yeah, so, but it's kind of weird when, you know, half the people playing Modern are playing one deck, and you're just like, oh, this is why you don't, maybe this is why you don't do it.
Well, I mean, it just, I don't know. TCG player, I think TCG players more focused on, like, gimmicky stuff. Like, they want to give titles to everything and everybody. You know what I mean? Where it's, well, like, you know, the three different states.
Yeah, yes. Okay, that was what I was going to say.
So it's that's like, something that they kind of put to full focus. Is now they're going to be holding three different states tournaments at different times during the year.
Well, here's the thing. Their logic for that was priceless. It was, well, we know there's a lot of confusion about who's state champion. And various organizations referencing Star City. Various organizations are calling themselves state championship holders now. So what we're going to do is, just to eliminate the confusion, have three of you in one calendar year. In Limited, Standard, and Modern. So I'm state champion. No shit, me too. Like, what? And then the third guy comes over and is like, whoa, I'm state champ. Well,
you have to, you actually, awkward, you do have to get a face tattoo to prove that you are, you know, one of the state champions.
Yeah, it's really awkward if you actually win all three. You just, it's a full face.
It's actually a new face.
But it does actually, but it does make one solid logo. They did do that right. So it's kind of cool.
It's, you think, like, the NFL has a cool, like, gloves where they put their hands
in the
logo? That's what your face looks like.
Yeah. Okay, it's like the TCG logo with the three cards. So, like, if you win the limited one, it goes on your left cheek. The standard one goes on your right. And then the modern one covers, like, your Mike Tyson part of your face.
And when they combine, it's actually just Frank LaPorte's face.
It's really neat. So, yeah. Go to three state championships. I hope you do
I
well.
I mean, you can actually, Star City has them. So, you can go to, like, what, four or five?
Four. Yeah, because Star City's having a fall in the spring. I want Star City to roll out the standard modern extended, like...
And you know, as awkward as this may be, I did want to take this time, we as a podcast want to take this time to announce our stage. It's actually
the at your end Supremacy
series.
It's held
in the park near my apartment. And the winner gets barbecued ribs.
Well, it's funny because I was playing Saturday Standard at Comic Town, our team shop, and Ryan comes up and goes, well, with all this announcement of us, with all this announcement of everybody running states, Star Cities running states, I'd like to take this time to announce that you guys are playing in the first official qualifier for the Franklin County Super Series. Who is the baddest of them all in Franklin County? And like, so I won that event. He writes me up this little sleeve of paper. It's like, here's your certificate to the Franklin County Super Series. Congratulations, you are well on your way to being Franklin County champion.
We need to talk to him about this. I actually want the team shirts to be changed too. Greater Franklin County area state champ or county champs.
I mean, sure, why not? We could just give out titles, right? We could just create our own if we don't have any. But I mean, it's kind of funny because we're sitting here like, we aren't complaining. Like, a magic tournament, and it's great that there's a bunch of them that we can play in if we want to. But it's just kind of ludicrous at this point in time when you have all these state championships, like, they don't mean anything. So I don't know, like. That's what it is. It's hilarity. Like, we're not complaining that, oh, there's all these Magic tournaments. We're complaining because they don't mean anything.
Yeah,
they've lost their relevance. There used to be one state championship, and it happened every year, and that was something.
And it was a national event that you could feed into.
Right,
you
do correct.
And
now it doesn't mean anything.
And, you know, they're trying to fill the void that Wizards has kind of pulled back and gone to mostly GPs. They're trying to fill the void. Anybody that does anything, events like this, you know, Mythic around here has been trying, Mythic MTG or whatever, has been trying to do their own 5K event. I don't think that's going to go over very well. Their qualifiers have kind of disappeared a little bit.
Yeah.
But, I mean, they're trying. And I think, you know, TCG player, is an established, you know, company that needs to do this better. Mm-hmm. But I would hate for them to not exist. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Ask that question. Like,
100%.
Should continue to exist. They need to get the system down better. They're, you know, they're doing the, you know, as much as we laugh about the points, they do their own token system. It is them. You know it's TCG. Brand awareness is a good thing.
Yeah.
I just hope that...
I am impressed with that.
You know, no one who works at TCG is going to listen to this.
Well, we don't know that. I'm just saying, we don't know that.
We did... We did help the one guy who awkwardly gave our card to Melissa Del Toro.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
No, that guy's awesome.
Way, by the way, I was sitting next to Melissa Del Toro during that round, just so you know. So that made it awkward.
No.
Oh, really, oh yeah, by the way, actually, I'm on the show.
Melissa Del Toro is really, really nice.
True.
And Dave Nolan does know her. It was really funny. They were sitting there, and I had asked her and Adrian Solomon a question while we were sort of like playtesting games. And Dave was playtesting, but he had his headphones in and his hoodie up. So I was like, oh, you know Dave over here, you know, you guys are from the Boston area. She's like, oh yeah, this and that, and Andrew Morrow just goes, you know the Dave Nolan, and of course Dave didn't hear it, so we look over at Dave, and he doesn't turn, he just looks like the total douche. So you know, the Dave Nolan, yeah, that's me.
Oh, poor Dave.
It was actually the best. But it was, they got to continue to do it. I just hope that if it's not our criticism, I know there's more than just us criticizing this.
Oh yeah.
Yeah,
you know, just the way they posted deck list was just garbage. You know, like you know, Star City does XO or X1 and better decks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, why not give those? Why not give that variation instead of just jammed all the modern and standard top 16 lists into a thing and said that's it? Their coverage on their website, like there's no written articles, there's nothing.
No,
it's all trash.
I tried to find Dave's. I can't even find the prize payout because I tried to figure out how much Dave got paid. I couldn't find the prize payout in an accessible manner.
It's so true.
I had to use the time machine for website, like to find it. Like it was there Friday, so we'll just go back to Friday. Yeah, and like you even showed me the deck list before the thing, and I was like, well, why aren't Dave's together?
Like, they're not even next to each other.
Dave Nolan, five other guys, then Dave Nolan. I don't understand. No, like for me, I won't watch events unless the production's there. I don't care how good. Just like podcasts.
Well,
like,
see, the thing is, I would disagree with you that, though, because if it's players you care about playing decks you're interested in, you probably would sit through it.
See, I don't know. Like, a lot of the time with StarCraft events, they would get these high-profile players to play in these good events that pay good crash prizes, and the commentary is terrible, and you're like, oh, mute that, drag that to the side, and we're just...
Fair enough.
Like, with podcasts, if Reed Duke is on a podcast with a guy who's like, well, Reed, I like your hair... Like Morgan, I'm probably not going to listen.
Yeah,
I'm going to turn it off in 2 seconds.
A mile away.
And like, but like, honestly, if the production value is not there, like our earlier episodes, the production value wasn't as sound as it is now. I struggled to listen to some of those episodes, and it's getting a little bit better with the local recording and stuff like that.
So, I ended the podcast, and I still don't listen to the episodes.
Yeah, no, I won't watch a TCG thing. Would I play in one if it all got better, if I could qualify and not lose my points and it were ran by TCG player?
Wait, you mean like you did this last weekend and failed?
Jesus.
Doo-doo-doo.
This guy. Well, I'm back to my top day two invitation.
Well, no, you're just like, you're like, hypothetically, if I could do all the things I've already done, but...
That's not what
if I could do all the things...
Don't jump off a bridge, Mike Kenny.
If I could do all the things I did better... And it'd be fine.
I could pay someone to jump off a bridge for me.
Man, if I could beat Morgan McCarl in 10 turns instead of 11. Yeah, don't make fun of me, Jackass. I won a game of standard.
That's true, he did. I didn't. It's all right. It's okay.
You know what? You
I won more than one, by the way.
You know what felt really good earlier? That high five of Reed Morgan. Want to do it again?
Yep.
I'm going to edit all this bullshit out of this podcast.
All right, so...
I mean that's pretty much everything that we really had to say about our weekend and about all the standard events that happened. Again, you know, thank you guys for listening so much. Obviously, you know, you take a look at our website. It's just at yourinstab.com. All of our Twitter stuff is on there. Please follow us on Twitter. Send us feedback. You know, we definitely love hearing from anyone that does listen to the podcast. I wouldn't call you fans because I don't know how much you like us. You probably just listen to us out of pity. We appreciate it either way. You know, we're not
a three-legged dog.
We're not too prideful. You know, we'll take what we can get.
It really run, but man, it tries.
Yeah, exactly. That's fine. If that's what we are, if we're your charity case, we'll take it. That's all we're saying. But
speaking of charity, give me 4 car Limbrids.
Don't
you.
Do that. Don't.
Yeah, we are looking. We talked about it tonight. We're gonna create a podcast Moto account so that we can, you know, so that you don't have any more videos of Jordan playing cockatrice.
Yeah. So we're definitely gonna try to give you guys some more content. and bring some video into this audio only format. Do some drafts, do some standard events, hopefully. Maybe even do potentially some modern, and then we'll see where this goes. Hopefully, we'll have that in the coming weeks. Once all the things kind of come together. And so please bookmark our website. It's definitely going to get more full than it is right now. But just to kind of wrap it up, we always appreciate you guys listening, and have a great one.